It's here and now. This week, the movie A Walk in the Woods opens in theaters. It's based on the 1998 novel of the same name. It tells the real-life story of author Bill Bryson. He and his friend Stephen Katz attempted to hike all 2,189 miles of the Appalachian Trail. The two men were in their 40s at the time. They are completely out of shape, facing their lack of experience and learning a lot about nature and about themselves. Robert Redford and Nick Nolte play the pair in the movie. The actors are in their 70s now, also out of shape and facing old age. Here's a clip from the film. The two men are being confronted by younger hikers on the trail.
You guys doing all right?
Yeah, no, we're fine.
Because look, when we get over to the other side, we can just come back and grab your packs if you want. You know, it's easy for us.
Not a problem.
Happy to help.
We like hard. We don't like easy, but thanks a lot, you know?
All right, then.
So for 40-year-olds or 70-year-olds or 20-year-olds, how hard is it to hike the Appalachian Trail? Warren Doyle is director and instructor of the Appalachian Trail Institute. He has completed the trail 17 times and trains others to do so as well. For the price of a donation only, he leads them along the complicated terrain. And we caught up with him along the trail at the AMC Highland Center in Crawford Notch, New Hampshire, and asked him why he did the trail for the first time way back when and why he still hikes it today.
Well, I was 23 years old then, and, you know, basically I wanted to prove to myself who I was and how much I could give and how much I could take. I started to question being a product of our general society, so I read up about walkabouts and pilgrimages, you know, away from societal institutions, and I decided that I'd go on a 2,080-mile pilgrimage, and that's when I did it in record time, and I wanted to do it that way because I wanted to make it hard on myself. You know, the trail didn't give me any favors and treated me the same as anybody else would. So I learned a lot about myself and where I wanted to go in the future. And that led a couple years later to organizing the first group to do the Appalachian Trail, and that was in 1975, and there was 19 students, primarily from the University of Connecticut, where I was a grad student at the time, and we walked the whole trail. And the thing that really stood out is that all 19 people who started finished.
Which is very unusual, and you have a pretty good record at that, because you're still leading tours today. In fact, really today.
Yes, this is my ninth group. It's been, you know, 40 years, and it's something I just do on my own. It's grassroots. It's folk. You know, it's not institutionalized, and basically it's a labor of love, and the most productive way I could be spending my time as a social change educator.
I want to talk about the social change in a second, but when you first set out at 23 years old, you said you were tired of societal institutions. You wanted to break away. You wanted to be on your own. The Appalachian Trail has become something of an institution itself, and it's not always solitary up there. And you're going with 12 people, I think, on your most recent hike. What's the motivation now? Because you're not necessarily getting away from it all.
In a way, the expeditions, they really don't happen. There's no other groups doing the trail because it's non-commercial. No one is paid. There are no liability forms that we sign, and so it's very old school, so it isn't institutionalized at all, and that's the beauty of it. And you mentioned in your first question about why am I still hiking it, because of the freedom and the simplicity, and it's still much different than real society.
Describe it for us. You say it's different from real society. What is it like?
Well, it's very simple. You either do it or you don't. You know, you either get 15 miles closer to the mountain today or you don't do it. It takes hard effort. No one's walking the trail for you. You have to walk it on your own 2 feet. You know, we're made and we're built to walk. We're not made to, you know, win a gold medal in the balance beam or the rings in the Olympics, but we're made to walk. And just walking a long way is open to a lot of people. And I like that.
And as part of your kind of edict, you have issued 13 statements of wisdom. And one
yes.
of them is walking the, it's been an education to read these, actually, Warren. One of them is walking the entire Appalachian Trail is not recreation. This is an education and a job. And another says that the Appalachian Trail is not going on a hike. It's a challenging task, a journey with deeper ramifications. It's kind of zen what you're saying here. You're saying that the trail cannot be changed, the time, the distance, the terrain, the weather. You have to change. I really
That's
hate
correct.
That idea.
Well, the people that don't want to change don't finish it.
Yeah, or don't start it.
Right. But a lot of people start it because they feel that they're going to have control over it. And when they feel that they don't have control over it, they don't want to give up that control.
Give me an example. I mean, I think a lot of people who go with you on the expeditions have to probably learn that as they're in progress. How does that happen? What have you seen?
Yeah, actually, they learned that during the preparation period, the 20 days prior. And so it's sort of like, what would happen if people would learn how it really is to have children and raise children and the challenges of adolescents and teenagers and stuff like that before they actually had children or, even marriage. Like whenever you make a long-term commitment, if you decide that you want to walk from Georgia to Maine, that is a long-term commitment.
And how long?
Well, most people who backpack it, and you don't have to backpack the whole trail, but most people who backpack the trail do it between 5 and 6 months.
So that's
a long time.
Yeah, that's a big commitment. And there is a lot of learning on the way. Can you give us an example of how you inculcate the people coming with you into learning to, go with the flow of the mountains?
Well, we start, we have practice hikes, and we're actually out there walking 20 miles a day, day hiking, so people can realize what does it feel to walk all day? What does it feel like to walk from sun up to sundown? Do you want to do something like that for, 140 days? It's hard. It's not fun. And the only way it becomes fun is if we accept that it's going to be difficult. Then we could start having fun. Because walking the Appalachian Trail is counterculture, because our culture is based on comfort, and walking the trail is not comfortable.
Yeah, and what
our culture is based on convenience and saving time.
Right, taking shortcuts.
And this takes a long time. Somebody could ride a bicycle 20 miles in, 20 miles would take you all day to walk. So it's not fast.
So give me an example of something that maybe happened on this trip or the previous trip where the whole had to work on behalf of the individual.
Oh, yes. Expedition 2010, we had an individual in his 60s who had fallen and scraped himself in Pennsylvania on a rock. And from that point on, he became very frightened about rock ledges and rock outcroppings. And when we got up to the White Mountains here, he was just very fearful because it's very rugged here. And it became very apparent that we had to help him. And so for the last 20 days on the trail in Maine, everyone took a two-person shifts once every 6 days. And one person would be directly in front of him and one person would be directly in back of him to help him through all the steep rock ledges. And it was just a beautiful experience. And the last day we climbed Katahdin, it was the remnants of a tropical storm, and it rained 4 inches that day. And we climbed the mountain, and people were with him the whole way, both up Katahdin and down Katahdin. It was just a beautiful group experience.
You say that when the people you're with finish the trail, they sometimes let out shouts of joy. They sometimes cry. What do you do?
Oh, I cry profusely.
Still?
Yes. Remember the end of Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book, when Bagheera told Mowgli, "And now you must go back to man." And Mowgli cried and cried and cried. I love my real life. I've started a folk school in my retirement where I live down in northeast Tennessee, and I'm looking forward to going back and putting on contra dance weeks and weekends and running my Appalachian Trail Institute out of the folk school. I really love it there. So I'm leaving a place rather than, cash, basically. So I'm very excited about that.
Not yet, though, right? You still have a couple more treks ahead of you.
I'll be organizing a 2017 expedition because, I feel my clock is ticking. And then I may hike the trail one more time when I'm 70, if I'm able to, just so I could say that I've walked the trail once every decade for six decades, which shows a devotion. And commitment and devotion are very important to me.
That's Warren Doyle, who's the director and instructor of the Appalachian Trail Institute. We checked in with him earlier today, and he told us that he and his group of 12 are in Rangeley, Maine right now, so they still have a few more weeks to go. And by the way, Robin, the average age of the hikers who join him is 57. He himself is 65 years old, and as you heard, he wants to hike well into his 70s.
He also told us about how hard it is, the rock climb at the end. It's pretty tough, and there's a move to change the end of the trail, Lisa, because people are partying too much there. But anyway, as we said, Robert Redford plays Bill Bryson in the film Walk in the Woods. He's almost 80. He told us filming the hike was hard.
We didn't hike the whole Appalachian Trail, but we felt like we did because we would hike sections that were going uphill. You do one take, then you go back and do it again, then you do it again. After six, seven, eight takes, you're really pooped.
So tomorrow, Robert Redford on Getting Older and Walking in the Woods, here and now.